Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. I'll read some verses from verse 20 to 27. Hebrews chapter 11, and starting at verse 20 and reading to verse 27. Verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come 2 years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. Well, let's turn to verse 22 today as we continue our series in the book of Hebrews. I'll read verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And in this chapter 11, we have what many call the gallery of faith, as we see these great characters and their faith in God. One man called it the calendar of faith, because it runs through the history of faith in the Old Testament. And we're very familiar with these names, of course, and these accounts. But what this chapter 11 does, it brings attention to their remarkable faith in God and the promises. It focuses on just this aspect of them, that they believe God. And so much so that we might rightly refer to them as Bible heroes. And we also can take heart and strength from the example in our circumstances, whatever they might be, to show faith in God, that we might be one of these heroes by God's grace, that we might believe in God in our time, in our life, in our circumstances. And so we've arrived at the example of Joseph. Now, much can be said of Joseph. We have lots of details about his life. But one thing is mentioned here, and that is his very last words in this world. And these last words do say much about him. They reveal much of his heart. As he speaks of the children of Israel leaving Egypt and returning to the promised land. Just remember where he was and in what part of history he lived. And yet he spoke of the children of Israel leaving Egypt and returning to the promised land. In a way, it was, or there's an element of prophecy in his words. Look at this summary of Genesis in Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. The word departing there is actually the word Exodus, and that's poignant, isn't it? Because there was an exodus out of Egypt into the promised land. So you could read those words in this manner. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the exodus of the children of Israel. And what is more, he showed his firm belief in this matter as he made request for his bones to be carried with them to the promised land. He made an oath and asked them to carry his bones into the promised land. Whenever this exodus would take place, this was the request of Joseph. If you go to Genesis 50, it's worth seeing the actual words in verse 24 to 26. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Yeah, quite remarkable words, really, this faith of Joseph and this determination, this certainty he had that God would visit them and bring them out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. The words are very reminiscent of our previous study in Hebrews, and they're the parting words of Joseph's father, Jacob. If I can read in Genesis 47 and verse 29 onwards, Genesis 47, verse 29. This is now Jacob. And the time drew nigh that Israel, that is Jacob, must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me. And he sware unto him. And Israel, that is Jacob, bowed himself upon the bed's head. Now if you come back to Hebrews 11, verse 21, which refers to that, but that's worth reading as well. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Just a quick word of explanation there, comparing the verse in Genesis 47, verse 31, where it says, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. And there in Hebrews 11, verse 21, where we read, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. That verse in Genesis, where it says the bed's head, essentially means head or top. And so we get a explanation there in Hebrews of the meaning of that Hebrew expression, where we read in Hebrews 11, verse 21, this picture of Jacob on the edge of his bed, probably, with his head bowed on the top or the head of his staff, and he worshipped God. But more than that, I'm just reminding you of the previous study there and the context of it. But rather, he prayed and requested Joseph to bury him with the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, in the promised land. And that's what Jacob asked. And so does Joseph. And Joseph shows the same faith in God's promises as his father, Jacob. So let's consider various aspects of this faith of Joseph. First of all, his faith in the promises made to the fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then secondly, the faith in the blessings of God over the riches of Egypt. And then thirdly, his faith in the blessings of God despite his disappointments with his own people and family. And then we'll mention some fulfillments of this faith, which took place many years later with Moses and Joshua. But his faith, first of all, in the promises made to his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go back to verse 22 of Hebrews 11, and there we see Joseph makes mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and then he makes mention, really, of the land promised, implied to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as he does in Genesis. And we see here the grounds and basis of his faith. God has spoken to Abraham and also to Isaac and to Jacob of the promised land. No doubt Joseph had noted Jacob, his father's request to be buried in that land with his fathers. And Joseph believed these promises, the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If I can just mention some of these promises, in Genesis 15, verse 18, we see the promise made to Abraham, where we read these words: "In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, 'Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates.'" And that promise, of course, was repeated many times with Abraham. Then Isaac in Genesis 26, verse 3: "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." And then Jacob in Genesis 28, verse 13: "And behold, the Lord God stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed.'" And also, of course, Jacob's blessings upon his sons and the sons of Joseph, these promises were repeated in the years of Joseph, or certainly aspects of them. Now, Joseph also knew the Lord. He knew God's grace and his drawings near in his own life. No doubt those sealed these promises in his heart. But essentially, he believed the promises. He knew the Lord himself, and he believed these promises. But that is really very much like our position. Joseph really is a picture of ourselves. He's, shall we say, a step removed from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we are a step removed from these fathers, although Joseph was just behind them. Nevertheless, we have the promises to our fathers and the promises in the Word of God. We know God and his grace drawing near. And we have believed as well. We believe the Word of God. In that sense, that's what Joseph did. He believed the word given to Abraham. We believe the word of God. And he knew the Lord, and we know the Lord. And through those things, we believe. In our situation, our belief, we can add to those promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, other wonderful gospel promises. If I can just mention a few. John 3, verse 16. The promise of salvation. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe in Christ, you shall have everlasting life and be saved from your sins. And then promises also of glory and heaven. John 14: "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, the Lord spoke wonderfully to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's also spoken wonderfully to us through the word of God. And then the guarantee we might pick out as well in Luke 21, where Christ said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And so we believe these promises. We have believed in Christ. We believe these promises. It's in the Word of God. We know God in the heart. Our situation is quite similar to this situation of Joseph. He believed the Word, and he knew God. And we have believed the Word of God, and we know God in our heart. So that's the foundation of it all. The belief in the Word of God and the promises of the Gospel and of Jesus Christ and the great promised land, of course, which is the ultimately, is not Israel, it is glory in heaven. And then secondly, let's go on to his faith in the blessings of God over the riches of Egypt. Now, as you think of the circumstances of Joseph's faith, we see how he looked to the promises in the context of the wealth of Egypt and his position in the house of Pharaoh. And in many ways, Joseph reminds us of what will be said of Moses in a few verses' time. And notice verses 24 to 27 in this same chapter 11. "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Simply put, Moses chose to suffer with God's people, believing in the great promises of glory to come, rather than choose the temporary pleasures of Egypt and the treasures of Egypt. It even says there the reproach of Christ, that he chose Christ and not Egypt. That was Moses. Now Joseph is quite similar. Moses was very rich and privileged in Egypt, and so was Joseph as well. He was second only to the Pharaoh. You could say his position was higher than Moses, really, because his power and authority had over the land, and second only to Pharaoh. And so he was surrounded by riches and esteem and honor and privilege. But we note his eyes were not directed to the treasures. His eyes were directed to the promised land. And that's why this expression at the end of what Joseph asked for is so remarkable and significant. Despite the riches of Egypt, he was looking to the promised land. And what was this parcel of land? But in those days, a land which might be theirs in years to come. There wasn't much to see, was there? His fathers dwelt in tabernacles, in tents, and yet he believed in the great promises of God. And implied in that, not just the promised land, but the heavenly promised land and the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And we can take note here of Joseph for ourselves. Now, not all of us have such riches as Joseph or even Moses had in Egypt. Unless I'm mistaken, maybe you are that wealthy. But to a large degree, we are comfortable, you could say. Now, of course, some of us are not so comfortable. Some of us know what it is to struggle materially in this world, have lost everything and have nothing. And we know that is true about some of us. But yet, for many in our land, compared with other peoples, we are comfortable. And we could be such people like Joseph. Despite our comfort, our eyes are directed to the Lord and his promises. Materialism doesn't swamp us or overwhelm us, as it does with many. But rather, we keep those things at bay in their context, and we look to the Lord. It's no small thing, is it, to do that? Because materials and wealth are very seducing things, and they can overcome us and overwhelm us. But Joseph triumphed, and so can we triumph too. But let's not forget, Joseph also knew what it was to have nothing, to be falsely accused and to be imprisoned. And from the prison, he also looked to the Lord. Therefore, I suggest you, whatever your circumstances, look to the Lord, to his promises and his riches, and the riches of Jesus Christ. This is true faith. This is Christianity, that we, whatever our circumstances, see God, see Christ, and see these great promises. And what promises they are. Wonderful riches. The riches of the soul. The riches of eternity. There's nothing quite like them. The unsearchable riches of Christ. We can't take hold of them altogether now. We have, shall we say, occasional down payments where we know something of their quality, but we don't have the fullness of riches now, but we shall have. And this is what these people did, whether in prison or in the palace. They looked to Christ and to God and these great promises. Well, may God make us such people that we cherish the Lord. You know, this is godliness, isn't it? This is true Christianity. This is a vital Christianity where we love the Lord and we look to him. And may we never forget these things, that we have and this fire in our bosom and this desire for the Lord, and we don't look to the earthly and what is around us, whether it is a prison or a palace, whatever it is, we look to the heavenly matters and the great and true promised land. But then one more thing about Joseph. His faith in the blessings of God despite his disappointments with his own people and family. It's not just a matter for Joseph of looking to the heavenly and looking to the heavenly over and above the dominant power of the earthly, but there were events in Joseph's life and sad events which could have embittered him and disappointed him and turned him against his people and the promised land. And in a way, you could understand that, humanly speaking. The jealousy of his brothers, which could have ended in his murder, and he could have said, you know, enough of you. I'm here in Egypt. I have my comfort now. Why would I want anything to do with you? And of course, it wasn't the case. They murdered him, but they sold him as a slave to passing traders, the Ishmaelites, and eventually took him to Egypt. And even there, he knew more betrayal. This time, at the hands of Potiphar's wife. And then once again, he was forgotten and betrayed, really, by the chief butler and left in prison for some years. Eventually, of course, he was released from prison and his circumstances very greatly improved. But, you know, he could easily have been a bitter man, and he could have wanted revenge on those who caused him harm. Most certainly could have harbored ill thoughts of his people and his land. Maybe not revenge even, but just, why should I have warm thoughts about my people and their promises? Because look how they treated me. Of course, that's what his brothers feared when Jacob died. They feared that Joseph would then change and take revenge on them. But rather, we see in Joseph grace toward his brothers and faith in God. What a lovely character this man was, Joseph. In some ways, very underrated in the scriptures. He was a good, good man. And this verse 22 in Hebrews says much about him and where his heart was directed and his eyes were directed. It was towards the Lord. Through all his circumstances and all the struggles in prison and the treasures of the palace, he looked to the Lord. Now with us, of course, many things can test our faith. And this world, even God's people, can test us. But Joseph shows here how to keep a tender heart and also believing in the promises of God, a deep belief in the goodness of God, despite all the things that happen in his life. And for us, we don't place our faith in the people of God. It's the same that unbelievers say sometimes, oh, I don't believe in your Christianity because look at God's people. Well, we say to them, you're not believing in us, you're believing in our Savior. And for Christians too, we don't place our faith in the people of God. Although, different to the world, we do recognize, although weak it is, we do recognize grace in one another, although weak it might be. But we see the goodness of God's people where the world conveniently does not see it. But that's not the point. The point is our faith in the mighty God. That's the point. We don't worship ourselves or the church. We worship the Lord. And there is no fault in him. There's no weakness in him. But he's mighty and perfect and glorious and to be trusted. In fact, he's the only one to be trusted. None else can you trust. You know, our hearts... You know, we think of ourselves here in our lives and people can sympathize and help us in the struggles of life, but they can't get inside our hearts and help us, but the Lord can. And we have a friend with him and he can enter our hearts and we can trust him with our very souls. And so our faith is in one in whom we can trust. He's the only one who can be trusted. Nobody else. There's no other being that can be trusted like the Lord. Unchangeable. None else is unchangeable. God is unchangeable and faithful. So we trust in the mightiest and the strongest of the rocks. You know, you think of God's people, sanctified by God, saved by God, the angels. Angels can fall, as we know, from the devil. The Lord alone is true and strong. And in him we believe and trust, and in his promises. But let me give you some thoughts about the fulfillment of Joseph's faith in the promises. What happened to his bones? Well, it's wonderful how Scripture gives us these details. It's so complete. When Scripture starts a story, it will end the story. Maybe in a different book, but it will be there. And of course, Joseph's bones were carried from the land of Egypt into the promised land. As Joseph in chapter 50 shows certainty about it, God will surely visit you, he says. God will surely visit you, and he shall carry up my bones from hence. And so they did. Exodus 13, verse 19, we read of Moses honoring this request and this oath made to Joseph. Exodus 13, verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Now, Moses started the journey, but Moses never reached the promised land. Joshua was the one who completed the journey. And in Joshua 24, verse 32, we read, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground, which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and he became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And so remarkably, the bones of Joseph, carried for those 40 years in the wilderness, out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the promised land, until they were eventually buried in Shechem. And also, not just was that fulfilled, that aspect of his remains, but his faith in this Exodus was also fulfilled, where all the possession of the promised land was a fulfillment of Joseph's faith. Joseph believed that God will visit you and take you out of Egypt and take you into the promised land. And all the exploits of Joshua were a fulfillment, and the history of the Scriptures was a fulfillment of Joseph's faith. And also, I would add too, the coming of Christ and the gospel was a fulfillment of Joseph's faith as well, as all these men looked to Christ. Now, as we think of this fulfillment, we also have a fulfillment. You know, in our lives, so often our lives are a tangled web, as they say. And it's very hard sometimes to see how our lives can possibly work out well. And when you're in the midst of it and in difficulties, in troubles, and you wonder, what will come of this? And will our faith in God be found to be true? Will God keep me? Or shall I sink and just be overcome? And as we mentioned recently, speaking of the fishermen in Galilee, the long dark nights, you know, there without catching anything. And so we can have a long dark night and know something of emptiness of heart. But then when we think of previous times and the mess we were in before, and now we look back on those times, and even though we don't know everything, we can recognize the hand of God and how true he was with his promises. And we can see those events which almost destroyed us actually made us and were to his glory and blessed us. And hitherto the Lord has helped us. And so we can look forward to the present troubles and trust that God will bring them to goodness. He has not failed us thus far, and we can conclude he will not ever fail us. And especially with the ultimate promises of salvation, God's oath is upon it. We shall not come short. because God has promised to save us to the end, and Christ shall be with us to the end. And so it's not just our name, it's Christ's name, and God's name is upon our perseverance and endurance. And also, as we think of our remains, as we think of Joseph's remains, our remains, just like Joseph was removed from Egypt to the promised land, and we shall also be removed, our remains, from one place to another place. We shall be, if the Lord tarries, does not come a second time, we shall be buried in this fallen world. But our bodies will rise in the resurrection. In that sense, our bodies shall be carried into the promised land of the new world and new heavens, just like Joseph was, from Egypt to Shechem. And we shall be carried from this fallen world to the new earth and new heavens. And also, our souls will even go before that, probably, if the Lord tarries and doesn't come a second time. Our souls will leave this place and enter his presence and his promises, the true promised land of glory and heaven, and to be with Christ. And so we can see our faith in these things. We believe that we shall be taken into from this world into the very presence of Christ himself. Now, if you think of Joseph and his life and his faith in God, and think of our life, I just finish by saying this, that whatever is happening to you, has happened to you, is happening, and will happen to you, take note of Joseph. In all his circumstances, in prison and in the palace, he believed and trusted. And this expression at the end of his life, oh, may we speak like that at the end of our lives, that we might show this strong belief in God and looking to the promises, looking to God. That is how the godly think and look. May we be godly. May we, not just in a final day, but now as well, believe and trust. If all is falling around you and the very ground on which you are standing seems to give way, and there are experiences like that, where all our circumstances seem to just crumble around us, then even in those situations, believe in God and his promises. And this chapter is a chapter that calls upon us. It's not just a gallery of faith, but it's a challenge to us to be like them. And I would ask you, will you be like them? Or will you be afraid? Will you tremble? Or will you believe? Of course, it's natural to tremble and to be afraid. It is human. But it is Christian to believe and to have faith in God. Well, shall we sing our next hymn, which is